This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 37. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy books, from epic fantasy to urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, and everything else in between. You can expect to find the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world here on the show. So we'll get into that in just a second, but first off, we have to talk a little bit about what I've been up to. I just got back from an awesome weekend in Kansas City for the Independent Audiobook Awards, where I had one of my books nominated for awards in the Game Lit category. My Accidental Thief audiobook didn't win, but I was really excited to be there and nominated at all, and author Matt Dinneman and narrator Andrea Parsnow were the winners in that category with The Hobgoblin Riot, Dominion of Blades, Book 2, and they were both there to receive their awards. It was great to meet them, and I just want to say kudos to both of them. I recommend this book and the audiobook as well. If you like funny fantasy books with a gaming twist, you are going to love The Hobgoblin Riot, Dominion of Blades, Book 2. I'm back home now, though, and digging into my summer projects. One of those projects is actually the relaunch of a series I recently received the rights back for from the publisher. I'll have more about that in a few weeks, so stay tuned. I'm just going to give you a little teaser about it. But that's coming out at the end of July, and I'm getting ready to put that launch together and really excited about getting the rights to that book back and getting it out there for you all. In the meantime, Cyber's Escape is prepping for release at the end of this month, and there's still time if you want to pick up and read Cyber's Change, which is book one in the Sapiens Run trilogy, to get you ready for that book, book two. As always, if you're interested in more information on what I'm up to, please check out my fan group on Facebook. You can find it over at Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers and on my website and blog at jamiedavisbooks.com. Now let's go ahead and get into our guest for this episode. Today we have Jeffrey L. Kohanic on the show. Jeff is the author of the Runes of Visalia trilogy and the follow-up four-book series, Wardens of Visalia. Jeff grew up in the rural Minnesota area where comic books sparked his young imagination, inspiring fantasies about heroes with superpowers saving the day. His taste later evolved into fantasy epics featuring unlikely heroes overcoming impossible odds. And he has books about clashes of swords, monsters, and magic. He currently resides in Southern California and is right now writing a new fantasy epic series scheduled to release in autumn of 2019. Without too much more ado, let's go ahead and check out my chat with Jeffrey coming right up. Jeff, I want to thank you for coming on the Books and Authors Fantasy Focus podcast. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Jamie. I'm excited to be here.
Well, cool. Well, I'm sure a lot of people might have already heard about you, but I'm sure there's a few people that haven't. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background?
Okay. My author name is Jeffrey L. Kohanic. And my background, it's kind of funny. I'd have to go all the way back to my roots as a kid. I was really into comic books and superheroes, and I was very creative at the same time. So I used to actually draw and create my own comics. That creativity continued, you know, all the way up through college. But at the same time, I was also pretty strong in math and English, and, you know, somebody along the way told me, hey, you know, the responsible thing is you should become an engineer. So in college, while I took some creative writing, I came out, you know, with an engineering degree, and that's what I did for, you know, over two decades. And then I, you know, my kids got older, and I started getting some of my free time back as their activities dialed down. So I picked up, you know, the typewriter and, well, keyboard now, and just started writing again because I had like a story in the back of my brain and it had to come out. So now here I am 5 years later. I have 8 published books. the first series. It's a trilogy called Runes of Asalia. And then I have a newer series, four books called Wardens of Asalia. And, you know, I really love the writing thing, love being an author, and I have no intention of stopping.
And I don't think you should, because I've started reading your books and started reading the Wardens of Asalia box set, and just am loving it. It's unique. It's got some interesting character development, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but just great. And I'm glad you started writing. I did the same thing. My kids kind of grew up and went off to college, and we're only home around in the summertime and on vacations. And I was working from home as a medical journalist. And so I just started writing in my free time and slowly started dialing back my podcasting business and ramping up my author business until the two have kind of passed each other.
Yeah. You're right. There are definitely some parallels there.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, this story, you said it had to come out of you. Is it something you've been kicking around for a long time? Because it sounds like you've been a storyteller pretty much all your life.
Yeah, I think that, it's interesting. Like you start getting into something like writing novels and you realize some things come very naturally and other things you have to work on. The storytelling, that part was pretty natural. And actually it was quite a bit of it was driven by a magic system that I had in mind. And I'm kind of a fan of magic systems, things like what Brandon Sanderson, might create, or what you find in Name of the Wind, that kind of thing. Well, this magic system, along with some other things, kind of came together. And I just had a whole trilogy in mind, kind of outlined the whole thing and started writing it.
Let's talk a little bit about the magic system, because I haven't gotten far enough into the book to really dig into that very far yet. And so I'm curious about, what you did to devise a magic system from scratch, what were the central points that you wanted to kind of be the underlacing that is your magic system?
Right. Okay. So there are kind of like two types of magic in this world. The first type is mostly internal, and it's called order. Okay. The opposite is chaos, right? So the first one, the internal one, it's things such as healing and prophecy and telepathy and a few other things, but things that are tied to kind of like life, and not just life in one person, but like all life force, across the world kind of combined. So that's the internal system. The more external system is chaos. So that is about change and destruction. It's about energy and emotion. And so it's very external. Anyway, in my first series, the second magic system has been kind of like artificially hidden away or suppressed from the world. There are factions that believe that it's too dangerous and shouldn't ever be used. And then you have this main protagonist who stumbles across it and is one of the people who can wield it, because there are only a few people who can do it. And well, not a few, but we'll say like 1 or 2%. Anyway, he starts bringing this magic back. And that's kind of the core of that first trilogy, is around him bringing that back and the timing for when it happens and how the world changes by the time it's all done. So really the way the magic works, it's a little bit of a spoiler, but not a lot. So it's rune based, and it's similar to, if you've read The Name of the Wind, if you know the name of the real name of the wind, you can actually have power over it. Right. Well, similar to that, in this, like runes are true representations of a certain type of physic or emotion. So when I say physics, I mean like reduce gravity, increase gravity, power, brittle, like making something brittle. So the people that can channel the magic, basically they collect this external chaos, this energy around them, and they charge these runes. And a charged rune creates like a temporary say it lasts about an hour, augmentation. So that augmentation can be used on a person or an inanimate object. Also, later on, they discover ways to permanently infuse these runes, so it's somewhat like enchanting, into things, but that also comes with a separate cost, and I don't want to get into that part because that'll definitely be a spoiler.
No problem. So I actually started, I guess, in the second set of the series, which I was not aware of when I started it, but it's still engaging me, so I'm looking forward to reading both series now. That's exciting. Does the second book kind of carry on in the future from the first book in some way?
Yeah, the second book starts a generation later than the first.
Okay.
So, there's roughly 18 years gap between them. The second series features some of the characters from the first series, as well as their children. But if you are in A Warden's Purpose, which is the first book of that second series, the main characters in that are not related in any way to what happens in the first series. Those get pulled in later on.
Excellent. Well, I'm enjoying Quinn and Everson and just their story so far. And it's kind of fascinating the relationship of their siblings, even though they're not siblings, but they were raised as siblings. And it's just kind of fun to see that dynamic and how they feel about each other and watch over each other and things. And so I'm enjoying, them going off to join the academy and do the different things that they're doing so far in the book. It's caught me right away. I got to say, it's good stuff. Do you write like... You said you really had this magic system in mind. When do you bring the characters into your story to start fleshing them out? Is it something that comes in early in the process, or are you really looking at an overarching theme and plot idea and then build the characters into it?
Okay. Well, the first series was more plot driven than the second. So what happened was when my first series got done, I sat down actually with my family and I said, okay, the world is way different. I want to write. There are so many more things that can happen in this world. Like what should happen next? Assume it's, some time goes by. What changes? What's new? What could happen? So out of that conversation, we came up with some ideas. But the main thing that drove me to write the series were characters that were in me that kind of like had come about as I wrote the first series. And the first one was Everson, who, he's born with a condition where he can't walk. His legs are, just not usable. And he has to use braces and crutches to get around. But at the same time, he's super intelligent. He's, a very bright kid. And he uses his drive to his need to feel useful, along with that intelligence to start inventing things even at a young age. Okay, so that kind of created his drive and got him in the direction that he needed to go. At the same time, Quinn, whose family Everson is adopted into, she grows up with him, and he's picked on by other kids, et cetera. And she just becomes a natural protector of him and an anti-bully person. Well, that forms her personality to become, something suitable for a military academy, which she goes to. And then later on, she becomes an espion, which is like a spy within this secret organization that exists in books two, three, and four of the series. So I would say that, sometimes it's driven by characters I want to write, and sometimes it's driven by plot. And ideally, all that stuff just kind of comes together into a secret formula that works.
It is kind of, it does feel like that sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think Quinn's a total badass. I mean, it's like she, even at a young age, she's pretty formidable. Partly because she thinks on her feet and doesn't panic. And that's kind of, the first responder in me appreciates that, because the first thing that gets you killed in any situation is panicking.
Yeah. Oh, ironically, Everson is like the opposite of that, because he will panic. But he's super smart, basically between the two of them, they make like a perfect pair.
No, it's good. And I think that that's what makes it so far been has been a lot of fun for me to see them working together to solve problems and do things together. So it's been a lot of fun to kind of follow those characters. In the first book, you know, you talk about the main character, the first series, the main character that discovered this magic system that was there, kind of hidden for a period of time. Tell us a little bit about those characters.
Okay. So in the first series, when the books begin, there's kind of a controlling government, and they have extreme control because they're church and state as one. And this is an age where they don't have access to a lot of information or anything. So the government hiding truths and, you know, having conspiracies, et cetera, it's very easy for them to do. Well, what happens is in this controlled society, they've set up a methodology to assign everybody in society as having a role. So when you're born, you go through a magic ceremony and you get a rune that tells, you know, that gets put right on your forehead so you can't hide it. And it kind of tells the world what you are. And if that rune says, for instance, you're a cook, guess what? That's what you have to do when you grow up. That's just what you are. If you're one of the lucky and you get the rune for the ruling class, well, then you're top of the pyramid and you kind of get, you know, everybody defers to you. At the same time, there's 1% that don't get any rune. They get filtered out. They call them unchosen, and they don't fit into society. They don't have a role. So they result to things like they become thieves or work in brothels or something, you know, not desired. Anyway, the main character in the first book is among these unchosen. So, but what ends up happening is he has a tragedy in his family, and it forces him to just rethink things. He risks his life and goes through a process to obtain a fake rune and a fake identity. And then he, you know, disappears, and he goes off and he enters this school where the society's elite are trained. And, while he's there, he starts by piece, figuring out that there are these conspiracies. And one of them is this other hidden magic. And it's something that he can do stuff with, but doesn't understand. So that's much of the first book is just centered around this character, Brock, who's like an 18-year-old trying to figure out how to make this magic work. But at the same time, going through this school where they teach, you know, they teach the first kind of magic, order. And they teach combat and invention and politics, et cetera. So he's being trained to be like one of society's elite, but he's actually coming up from the bottom. And that's kind of the core of that story. And he's definitely the main character throughout, but many others are added in. There are, you know, he has a girlfriend who ends up also being a powerful magic user. And, you know, his best friend slash roommate is this towering, quiet guy who happens to be the best at combat in the whole school. And he's got another friend who's the brightest engineer in the whole school, and he's inventing crazy things. And later on, that same inventor comes up with a way to meld magic and science together into something pretty interesting. But it's important because this crazy invasion of a horde of monsters is taking over the whole continent. And these kids are at the center of it, trying to figure out how to fight back. So all these different pieces come together, these different characters with different skills. And, you know, there's a big, huge, epic 70-page battle in the last book.
I love that. I mean, who doesn't love an epic battle? I mean, I think that's why we like fantasy so much. I mean, you know, I there are books I go back and I just read the battle scenes. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I know. I think it's fun as well. Because it's so fun, I end up doing something similar to the last book of the next series. But that one is only like 50 pages long, though. So not 70, close. But
Every battle can't be the same. We get it.
No.
So, like, when you write, I'm curious, do you have, like, music you listen to for certain types of writing or certain scenes that you're working on? Or do you, you know, I know authors that, like, swear by, like, the wave machine in the background.
Yeah, I'm probably on the opposite end of the spectrum. I usually listen to, like, alternative rock / punk rock, everything ranging from, you know, Journey in the 70s to Fall Out Boy now. That's what it kind of pumps me up. And as I start writing, the words that they're singing just kind of fall away and I'm just into it.
It's funny. I get the same way. I do a lot of dictation for my first drafts now, but when I go back through and do the second pass, you know, I've got to have music going. And, it's funny how you, like you said, the words fall away and the music's just there in the background. And because I pick playlists of songs that energize me, it seems to just make my creative energy just flow all that much more.
Yeah, that's great. Sounds the same as how I feel.
Yeah, excellent. Mine tends towards like 70s funk, but you know, everybody's got their own thing. So a lot of Earth, Wind, and Fire in my playlist. So you know, as we kind of, I know you got some promotions and things coming up. This episode's coming out on Monday, the 10th of June. But you've got some exciting stuff coming up for people that might want to check out your books. You want to tell us what you've got going on coming up starting on the 11th?
Actually, even starting the 10th.
Okay, cool.
So The Buried Symbol, which is the first book of my first series, that will be free the 10th through the 14th on Amazon worldwide. And then A Warden's Purpose, the first book in the other series, my Wardens of Vesalia series, will be free during that same time period. And then starting on the 11th, The Warden's box set, which is for a four-book series, complete series, will be 99 cents from June 11th through June 17th on Amazon US and UK.
So it's pretty much like you can't pass it up, folks. I mean, I just tell you from just getting started, two free books and you get the second box set for 99 cents, I think is a no-brainer from my standpoint. And pretty exciting. So I'll make sure I have links to that in the show notes for anybody that wants to check it out. So if you're listening to this, you can head over to fantasy-focus.com, click the podcast tab at the top of the page, find this episode, and I'll have links in there to those books and those box sets so that you can make sure you check them out and take advantage of these awesome promos that Jeff's got going on. I want to segue a little bit because I want to find out what you're kind of working on next, because these are two complete series. So are we staying in Vesalia or are you going somewhere different?
Yeah, well, I left one small plot thread kind of incomplete in my last series when the book four ends, with the intention that I am going to write another series at some point. But at the same time, I'd been writing the Vesalia books for 5 years straight. And, you know how ideas come. Well, I have other ideas. And I thought it would be better if I started something new. So I have a new series that's going to launch. The first book will be October 1st. And the series is called Fate of Wizardoms. And a wizardom is like a kingdom, but run by a wizard. And yes, that means that they're not usually good guys. It's been pretty fun so far. I have one book complete. I have a companion novella complete that's going to go to everybody on my mailing list for free. And I'm well into the second book of the series. So my plan is to rapidly release at least the first three books by the end of the year and then follow on with, you know, more books in 2020.
So if you didn't pick up on that, folks, there's actually another free book you can get at some point in the future. If you go to jeffreylkohanic.com, you can sign up for your newsletter there, I assume, and be ready to get that book, that novella, when it comes out, right?
Yeah, actually, they signed up now. They would get a free book now, a companion book for my Warden's Vesalia series. And then, probably around the end of July, I'll start sending out the next novella as well.
Awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. It sounds like, you know, it's always fun to shift gears as an author and kind of visit a different world or a different setting and try something new on. But there's, you know, there's also a certain, at least for me, a certain amount of fear there because, you know, you have this thing that works, right? And then you change and go, well, yeah, but I want to do this thing over here. But you don't know if it's going to work as well, right?
Well, I'm hopeful, but yeah, I mean, there's always that chance.
I don't doubt your writing. I just know from my, you know, myself as an author, I have this fear like, well, what if the next series isn't accepted as well as the previous series was or whatever. You know, I think it's just an author thing. And it's that creativity angst that you can get involved with if you let your mind melt over it too much.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So as we kind of wrap up here, I want to kind of just kind of revisit and look at where you kind of reach out with your readers because you have your newsletter. We talked about that, but I know you interact with people in other places. So where do you prefer to like hear from readers? Do you like them to email you? Do you like them to reach out to you on social media somewhere? What's your choice?
Actually, all of the above. You know, I actually really enjoy engaging with readers for sure. Email, and my email address is jlkohanek, that's K-O-H-A-N-E-K, @gmail.com. And then I'm on Facebook. I'm on Facebook like 3 or 4 times a day, for sure, minimum. And I hang out in various readers groups there. I have my own Facebook page, which is Jeffrey L. Kohanek on Facebook. And then I dabble in Twitter. I'm not great at Twitter, but I show up now and then, check notifications, interact with people, and leave. And that's pretty much it, other than my author website.
But it's great for people to know where you are, and at least they know that if they leave a message for you there or interact, that you'll get back to them at some point. And, you know, I'm like you. I try to meet people where they are out there. I also dabble a little bit here and there in Instagram, but I must be too old for that because I just don't get it.
Yeah, I just don't have enough time because I'm still working a day job right now. I don't have enough time to do that many things, right? So you kind of have to focus. So I'm focused.
Absolutely. I understand completely. Jeffrey, you know, the last question I'll ask you is, as you think about some of your favorite authors that you read that kind of brought you here to today, if you could thank an author that kind of helped form the writer you became, who would it be?
Wow. I've read so much fantasy. It's hard to pin it on one.
You can pick two if you have to.
I'm going to cheat even more. I'm going to use three real quick. So as a teenager, the author that probably drew me in to fantasy and hooked me forever was David Eddings.
I reread his books now again and again.
Yeah, so that was a pretty big influence on me, and I think you can see some of that in the series I have out now, because I was kind of targeting a lot of the same type of reader. And then later on, my favorite series of all time is Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan.
Oh, amazing. Yep.
Okay, so the series I'm writing now is highly influenced by Wheel of Time. But instead of, you know, 800 to 1,000 page books, these are going to be like 350 page books, and assume that Matt Cawthon is the main character rather than Rand. Just say.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, I always loved Matt. He would make me laugh, and I could not get enough of him.
You know, isn't it funny that those two series you named are the two series I remember distinctly parts of them making me laugh to this day from my first reading. That there were parts of those books that just still make me chuckle to this day. And I think that is something I always strive to do. I want to have that immediate emotional response of some sort from my readers, from the books I write. And I think it stems back to those two series.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think, you know, comedy is something that it's not easy to write, but if you can get it, just sprinkle it in a little bit, it makes a big difference.
Well, I think it comes from, you know, having your character do that thing that, while unexpected, is, as you look back at it, completely expected,
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You just kind of shake your head. You know, Matt does something and you're like, yeah, okay, Matt would have done that, right? But It still makes you laugh when he does it.
Yeah, I have a character just like that in my new series. He has to go by the name Jace because his real name, which is Jarrell, he's become too legendary and people don't trust him. So he can't interact with anybody with his real name.
Oh, that's great. That's fun. Yeah, I mean, it's funny, you know, from the Wheel of Time books, one of my wife and I read those books together, and the thing we laughed about the most was the three boys, the three main male characters, Perrin, Matt, and Rand.
Yeah.
All thought the other one was better with women.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
That was like one of the best gimmicks was they would all ruminate about, well, you know, if Rand was here, he would know exactly what to say.
Exactly. That is awesome.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, Jeff, it's been great having you on the show. You know, what I'd like you to do is make sure you get a hold of me and come back next fall when you're ready to release the Wizardom books, because that sounds fascinating and I can't wait to dig into them. So please, you know, make arrangements to reach out to me and get on the schedule again, because I'd love to have you come back on the show.
Okay. Sounds great.
Awesome. And just a reminder to folks, go over and take advantage of those awesome deals he's going to be running this week. If you're listening to this episode and the week it came out, you're going to be able to get some awesome books for free and some other books for a really great deal. So jump on that and get Jeffrey's books. And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us online for a whole lot more from the whole Fantasy Focus community, both in our Facebook group for Fantasy Focus and over at fantasy-focus.com, where you can find a link to this podcast and all the other episodes for the podcast. Leave a comment over there. Let me know what you think of this episode. I'd love to hear from you. Also on the website, on each podcast episode post, you'll find links to subscribe to the show on your favorite mobile app for iOS, Android, as well as apps like Stitcher and TuneIn. You can even subscribe by email, so make sure you head over there and do that so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes. We have some pretty awesome authors already scheduled in the next month or so, including the awesome James Wolanik coming up in the next episode. That's it for this podcast episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where if you want, you can get a free book. All you have to do is sign up for my newsletter while you're over there. Whatever you do, though, subscribe here and come back for the next podcast. And of course, in the meantime, I want to remind you all to keep your eyes open, folks, because there's magic all around you.